Support for Technology and Innovation Reporting comes from SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Indra Chandrasekhar's lab's primary research interest is to understand the role of cytoskeletal proteins in cell and organ function. She's a scientist at Sanford whose work examines cell trafficking defects in kidney and brain diseases. She is the keynote speaker at the Northern State University Research, Scholarship, and Creativity Forum on the campus of NSU. Andrew Russell is NSU's undergraduate research coordinator, and they're both joining us today from the Tom and Danielle Amen Foundation studio. Indra Chandrasekhar, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Good to be here with you.
Andrew Russell, thanks for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Before we talk a little bit about Indra's research, Andrew, let's talk about the program itself and this forum that really highlights the work of undergraduate students. Tell us about the forum itself, please.
Yeah, so we have an undergraduate research program here to kind of try to showcase the work that we're doing, and we do that in a variety of ways. And one of the three main ways we do that is through this research forum, which is held annually each spring. And what it is it's an opportunity for our students to present the work that they've been working so hard on over the last year or two in a non-intimidating environment where they can present it to their peers, to other faculty members, but we also open it up to the community too, and we want to increase community outreach in that way and really invite the community to come out and see what we've been doing all year.
And how important is that, not only for the research that they're doing, to sort of help clarify it and sort of put them at the position of having to translate it and explain it to lay people, but will this be something that they're really going to be asked to do in the sciences for the rest of their careers, Andrew?
Yeah, it's something that we try to emphasize in our, especially our science programs. The forum itself is not specific to sciences, but all of our schools and colleges across the university. But I'm sure they would agree, too, that communication is one of the most important aspects about an education, not only learning facts, but being able to communicate those to the public. So I know in my department in biology, we really emphasize that and put our students in a position where they are communicating facts and even opinions on science in front of their peers and also other people. So the forum is another opportunity to do that in more of a formal setting outside of the classroom.
What kind of research are we anticipating from the students? How broad are their topics? How varied?
Yeah, so we have representation from the sciences. So we have a few biology students who are doing research varying from talking about bacterial biofilms growing on contact lenses to the chemistry department working on trying to develop new compounds to attack antimicrobial resistant microbes. And we also have a history major who's done a year-long project where she found some diaries and some documents from a particular resident from this region back in World War II era, and she really investigated that. And her research project culminated last month in a display that she put up in the library, and now she's also going to be doing an oral presentation today. Mm-hmm. We also have representation from the School of Education also. One of the students there is studying kind of the role of masculinity in sports and how that's changed over time. So we really get into a lot of diverse topics.
So all this is happening at Northern State University beginning today at noon at the Beulah Williams Library. And Indra Chandrasekhar, say your name for me, please.
Indra Chandrasekhar.
Thank you. Does this bring you back to your undergraduate days?
Yes, it does. It does,
actually. Start this process? Yeah, tell
us
about
that. Yeah, it does. I did my undergraduate in India, and then I moved on to do my PhD in Germany at the Technical University of Braunschweig, because I was interested in cell biology, and Germany is very well known for a lot of old-school cell biologists, and I wanted to learn from the best. So I went to one of their labs to study actin biology, the cytoskeleton, cell cytoskeleton, and I learned a lot there. And I moved here to the United States to do my postdoc at Washington University in St. Louis, where I was there for 5 to 6 years, and then started my own lab 5 years ago at Sanford Research.
So break down for us a little bit this notion of the pathways of cells sort of moving cargo around and all the things that we don't know about how that works.
Before I do that, I would like to thank Dr. Russell for organizing this and inviting me to come give a talk here and showcase our research program, and also the several undergraduates that we have used, you know, their talent in my lab, how my lab has benefited. I will be showcasing some of those today, so that we really promote undergraduate students to get involved in research. My research program, the cells are compartmentalized structures. So we have several organelles in cells, and the reason we talk about kidney cells and the brain cells, because they have to undergo rapid transport pathways, either for reabsorption or for neurotransmitter release, and they have a high level of specialized cellular transport that's happening in the kidney cells and the brain cells. So right now, my lab is trying to understand cellular transport pathways from a physiological context and an organismal perspective. So we actually develop novel tools that are necessary to study this, because, you know, either mouse models or novel cell types was not available before for the researchers. So we have been successful in doing so and understanding cellular transport pathways with these novel tools that we have generated in the lab. Today, I'll be showcasing two of those tools. One will be a novel biosensor that we have generated, which enables us to measure the force that gets generated in within the cells and give a piconewton force value to the molecular motors that help in various type of cellular activities. And the other novel model that I'll talk about is a kidney-specific conditional knockout mouse model that we have generated, which developed serious kidney disease because of deregulated cellular transport in the epithelial cells of the kidney tubules. And this model is not only going to help us to understand the molecular machinery that is involved in the transport pathways, but also eventually help us develop therapies, you know, targeted therapies for certain kidney diseases.
So when we talk about the novel tools that are being developed and have been developed, does that information, you know, intersect? Or are they two different studies that you're all, here's the novel mouse model, here's a novel biosensor. Is it the same scientists benefiting from the work side by side? Or are these two separate programs?
These are two separate programs in my laboratory. But what I would tell you is we generated this biosensor, which is capable of detecting cellular force. But as I mentioned, cellular force is really important to perform so many different biophysical characteristics, you know, properties of cells, and it could be transport as well. But so at some point, I know that these two projects in my lab are going to merge together, but that's future work, you know. Right. So
talk to me a little bit about the undergraduate research students and even high school scholars. How are they coming in and participating in the lab at research?
So Sanford has Sanford program for undergraduate research, and it is also a NSF REU site. So National Science Foundation funds the REU program. So I have had students for the past 3-4 years through the REU program. We just renewed that grant at Sanford Research. And we also recently got the NIH R25 grant for pediatrics and biomedical research program, which is also going to fund some of the undergraduate research. And I've had several undergraduate students and high school promise scholars through the Sanford Promise program who did very well in my lab. And some of them are co-authors in the meeting abstracts we submitted to international meetings, and they are going to be co-authors in the paper that we are, the manuscripts that we are going to submit as well. And today I'll be highlighting 3 or 4 people who were in my lab who contributed immensely for the research that's ongoing.
Are they coming to you prepared as we look at education in South Dakota? And the students that you're getting are obviously, you know, suited for the task at hand. But do you feel like they're coming with an educational background that is solid enough so that you can take them to the next level of where they need to be in the lab?
I certainly think so. You know, in my experience at having students from South Dakota, and the high school scholar that I will be talking about was actually from Madison, South Dakota High School, and he did very well. I think the high school really prepared him, and I would say that you would consider that as a rural high school, and prepared him very well for what he was tasked with in my laboratory. And he is now in the one of the early medical science training program at University of Rochester with the full scholarship aid. So there are a lot of high school students who have gone, and undergraduate school, moved on to East Coast or the West Coast for two prestigious programs after their summer research with us. So I would say they are very well prepared.
And these are highly competitive positions, so there's a lot of competition to get into them.
Yeah. Professor Russell, talk a little bit, if you will, about not only that competition, but the sense of the idea of getting published and being a participant and getting your name on a paper. What does that sort of put them in position for in the future, for their education and for their careers?
Well, that's actually one of the things that we're trying new this year at our forum, too, is we're inviting some NSU graduates to come talk about their experiences as undergraduate researchers, and not only talk about how that helped them while they were in school, but also getting internships and jobs after school. So we really stress to our students that these types of experiences, not only on our campus, but also in these third-party sites like Sanford Research, are really valuable at setting yourself apart when it comes to going on the job market or applying for graduate school or medical school. And we've found that our students fare very, very highly in those positions compared to their peers, because we are a smaller institution where they have firsthand experience with our professors. We've had one student last year or 2 years ago who went down to Sanford Research for one of those experiences. And she's now going to attend med school in Texas, El Paso. And one of my current mentees, he also just recently accepted a position down there at Sanford Research for this coming summer. So we feel like our students are getting prepared well here, and they're competing not only with other peers from South Dakota, but for at least the undergraduate research programs. That's a national program, so there are students from other states competing for those as well.
Indra, you talked about developing therapies, and I'm wondering at what point does that sort of have to be part of the conversation in any research, as far as, you know, what is this for? What's the application?
That's a very good point. I think you know, all these tools, including the biosensor I talked about, you know, we as trained fundamental biologists, we do it because these are questions in the 21st century that has not been answered by science, biological science. And I think this, it's very important to keep in mind the fundamental research in biology and the knowledge that we gain from that. from our perspective, maybe just a matter of we are adding the puzzle pieces to the unknown that we have not known before. But those puzzle pieces, when we put together, there'll be a scientist or or a physician who will understand it better. And when we go and present it in meetings like that, they come to us and say, "Oh, now I understand that I've seen this in my patients. It's possible that whatever you're seeing in your mouse model is what is going on here." And then the time comes when we get patient samples and then test what is, do we compare that with our mouse models or cellular models that we have developed in the lab. And from there it goes on. I would say that this fundamental biologist doesn't have to be involved in every step of the next translational research, but then you are going to find physician partners who are willing to take that step. And that is all about science. It's collaboration and team effort, that you don't have to bring in every piece of the puzzle and the knowledge, but then someone else is going to bring that in as well.
So I'm wondering, as within that role, are you the most comfortable and excited and sort of inspired by doing the science for the science sake? Or do you look, at how the research was sort of, came from a collaborative standpoint, and now this therapy is maybe being developed and, people's lives are being impacted? Is that the part where you sit back and say, that's even more than I imagined? Like, what's your favorite part of the process for you personally as a scientist?
For me personally, like I said, I went to Germany to get trained by fundamental cell biologists and in advanced microscopy techniques. I like the science for the sake of science. I know that I'm contributing to add this one puzzle piece that was missing, that was unknown before. And that will always be my motivating factor. But when I go attend conferences where you do meet physicians and, in rare occasions, you do meet the patient advocates and patients, you do understand how important this type of research is. And so it... I enjoy talking to people and explaining more layperson terms how these models can be helpful, but then I'll be very careful in not promising them something that just not happened. Very cautious about the optimism.
Professor Russell, and your favorite part of working in science and science education, what still inspires you at Northern State there?
Yeah, I think there's a level of both. Just getting your hands dirty in the science is always fun, and seeing the results and talking about them with your peers is as a science geek, we kind of nerd out about that. But I do have an opportunity here to work directly with the students, and getting them excited about the science is also really cool. And you get a variety of students, some which are doing it because they see it as an opportunity to improve their resume and improve their status going into something like med school. And that's good too. But it's also fun when we get those students that really enjoy the research for the research sake and getting them excited. And sometimes they decide, maybe I'll actually steer into graduate school instead of going to med school. And I'm really got excited about this research.
Yeah. The 2019 Northern State University Research Scholarship and Creativity Forum includes the sciences and history and the arts as well, and that begins at noon at Northern State's Beulah Williams Library. My guests have been Professor Andrew Russell. He's NSU's Undergraduate Research Coordinator and Professor of Biology, and Dr. Indra Chandrasekhar. Thank you so much for being here with us. She's a scientist at Sanford Health. We appreciate your time.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.